Before we get started, we'd like to tell you that support for this podcast and the following message come from GhostFit Apparel. Founded by St. Thomas running back Josh Parks, GhostFit provides sleek and comfortable athletic clothing designed to help people both look and feel good in the gym, at home, or on the go. Browse through a variety of men's t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatpants, and get free shipping with a purchase of $75 now at ghostfit.com.
Welcome to Keep the Ball Rolling, presented by Tommy Media. On today's show, we give a Thanksgiving recap, talk Tommy hoops, and sit down with Tommy's shooting guard, Michael Hannon, before closing out with a look ahead to this weekend's basketball classic at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Hey everyone, and thank you for joining us on Keep the Ball Rolling, the only show where one of the hosts, in a period of 36 hours, can gain and subsequently lose 5 pounds. I'm Noah Brown with Brady Haldmeier and Althea Larson. And Brady, before we get started, this show is dedicated to sports, to athletic prowess and achievements. And I have to say, in my however many years, probably 5 or 6 years of covering sports, I don't think I've seen a greater single accomplishment from any one athlete than what you accomplished this weekend over Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you. I can't think of any way to describe that better than you just did.
Can you give a recap for the people at home real quick?
Sure.
Exactly what your achievement was.
Last week after the show.
Of athletic prowess.
Yeah. Last week after the show, we were talking about how much food I was going to eat, and I was very hungry at the time. And I said, I probably gained 5 pounds over Thanksgiving dinner. So I weighed myself. I was 169 and a half.
169.2. He sent photo evidence. We had a group chat with everybody who was on last week's show. He sent photo evidence so we can all verify that this did in fact happen.
That was the morning of Thanksgiving I sent that. And then after dinner, I think it was around 5 o'clock, I went up for, you know, post-dinner weigh-in, right? This is before dessert even. And I think I was at 174.7 or something like that. So a good hefty 5 pounds. 5.2 pounds, I guess. And next morning I woke up and I was back down to 170. So I put on like half a pound.
And so with that, there are the human body fluctuates on average about 2 pounds a day just due to slight metabolic changes in the body. So we can chalk some of that up
to science
and to just regular body processes. But at worst, you ate 3 pounds of food.
Yeah.
Which is awe-inspiring.
It wasn't even my best performance, I would say. I mean, I ate a lot, but I've eaten more. I've eaten more for sure.
How many servings did you end up having?
I think I had two plates, but I mean, my plates were ridiculously huge.
I imagine they're like mountains.
Yeah, I had a lot of mashed potatoes, couple rolls. I think I had a bunch of dark meat. Nobody wanted the dark meat. Everyone was going for the light. I was like, I found it was kind of off to the side. It's like where the turkey had been cut, and there's a lot of dark meat over there. I love that, especially it has like the skin on it, like
Ooh,
the turkey.
Yeah, yeah.
So I found that and had myself a little feast. And it was off to the side, so I kind of had that whole section to myself. Threw in a couple pieces of white meat, you know, just for good measure, really.
Well, the dark meat and the potatoes will do that to you, 5 pounds.
Yeah, so that's my weekend. And I lost a bet to you, Noah.
Yes, you did. We'll bring that up more in segment 3. But for right now, we got some Tommy Hoops talk. This is going to be an exciting week for basketball. The men just got back from New York. They're going to be playing at U.S. Bank Stadium on Friday. We've got a whole coverage team going down there for that. And Brady, this might be the biggest basketball game, regular season basketball game, that we've covered in our time here.
Oh, it's certainly huge. It'll be the game this weekend, and there'll be 4 games. It's called the U.S. Bank Stadium Class, Basketball Classic. And it's in preparation for the Final Four, which will happen in early April here in a couple of months in Minneapolis. And I was out at the court this morning when it was being installed on Tuesday morning. And I was speaking to the operations manager out there. His name was Ed. And he was telling me that typically a stadium, he runs the U.S. Bank, typically a stadium like that will have a game a year in advance to prepare. But the NCAA, for some reason, went away from that policy and that practice, and they're just going to start doing, at least in the case of Minneapolis, they're going to do it just a few weeks or a few months beforehand with some local teams. So that's how St. Thomas got that opportunity. And pretty cool. for the Tommies, for this basketball team to be able to play there.
Yeah, so they're playing Wisconsin River Falls for this. And these are the only two Division III teams who are going to be playing. The other six teams who are going to be there are Division I. So this is a huge opportunity. Did they say, did you talk to anybody who kind of knew how St. Thomas specifically fell into this?
No, I didn't. I didn't talk to anybody about the selection of the teams. I would imagine. I mean, we're a local university just down the street, and we played in big games before at Target Field and all that. So I would imagine that, just, you know, because of our kind of prestige here at St. Thomas and the fact that it's a local university, they wanted to get in some. The Gophers are going to play right after us, so I think that probably weighed into it.
And also the prestige of the men's basketball team. I mean, right. Look, 2016. Or I guess that's technically the 2015 season, or the 2015-2016
yeah,
season.
Yeah.
National champions. They kind of had a down year last year, but perennial contenders. And we spoke with Michael Hannon, one of the guards for the team. That's got a good interview. But he was saying, you know, that this team has the feel of being another championship team.
Yeah, he said he could see it. His freshman year, they won it all. And he said there's just something special about it. And we'll see if this team, a big step will be for them to win on Friday in that stage.
I think one of the biggest things that they've got coming up that they need to overcome is the loss of Ryan Bull. I mean, one, losing a big man like that, what he can do drawing double teams up in the paint to allow some perimeter shooting open, but also his defense. Oh, my goodness, probably one of the best Division III defensive basketball players I have ever seen.
Yeah, he
and
was
replacing
really
that is going to be huge.
Yeah, he was phenomenal on the defensive end. But I honestly think if these two teams would play, if you take the Tommies from last year against the Tommies from this year, I know it doesn't really work, but if you take those two teams and hypothetically play them, I think this team this year blows them out of the water and beats them by double digits for sure, because they're so much deeper. And they really have a true point guard in Anders Nelson. We'll talk about it a little bit with Michael. But he is the real deal, and he's gonna be a good player here for four more years to come. And I think they have a real good chance. They're not quite ranked. They're getting a few votes. But if they win on Friday, win tomorrow against McAllister, and then next week against Bethel, they could see themselves getting up in the rankings.
And I think a big part of it, too, is just they're healthy this season. They
right.
had so many injuries last season. It really wasn't until about halfway through the season when they were kind of already unofficially eliminated from any sort of deep playoff run that they started finally clicking. And they've only played three games at the time of this recording, but they look like a much different team. They're shooting the ball much better. They're moving around a lot better. And even without Ryan Bull, they look like a competent basketball team. They look like mm-hmm. a great basketball team.
Yeah, well, the problem last year is that we had good defender and some individually good defenders, and Michael Hannon's a good one himself. Ryan Bull, as you mentioned, an excellent defender. But really, defense was our problem last year. We could not find a way to get five guys playing together on the defensive end. You'd have some great individual efforts from those guys, but then one guy wouldn't rotate and they get a wide-open layup. Or we wouldn't box out and they get a defensive or an offensive rebound. So defensively was our our biggest struggle last year, and that's where I've seen we've made a big step. Anders Nelson is a good defender, and he can get into the lane. Michael Hannon's a really good defender. GT Johnson, Connor Bear, some of these senior guys are really giving an effort on defense and an attentiveness that I just didn't see last year. We were kind of lackadaisical defensively last year, and it really hurt us. That being said, if this team can stay defensively solid, they can score and they can shoot the three ball really effectively.
And a big part of that team, Michael Hannon. We've got an interview with him. Here it is.
We now welcome on senior guard here at the University of St. Thomas, Michael Hannon. Michael, thank you for coming on. It's been a very busy week here for you guys. You've been all over the world. It's been a very busy year, we can say. You guys have been all over the world. Tell us a little bit about your trips. Where'd you go this summer, and where were you 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So this summer, we had the opportunity to travel as a team to Costa Rica. So I think it's every 3 years in Division III basketball. You can practice for 10 days in the summer and then take a trip internationally somewhere. So we elected to go to Costa Rica, kind of get in the sun a little bit.
Was that a team choice, or did Coach Tower kind of take
He gave us the option. He said it was okay. Either Costa Rica or somewhere in Europe, and Costa Rica was both cheaper, and we kind of wanted the whole beach scene, so we went with that. And it was awesome. We played four games. We were actually in Panama for a couple days, too. It was really fun to play international basketball. It's a lot different, just kind of the style of play, and then the refs aren't as in tune with the rules, so we had a couple couple calls that we thought should have gone the other way, but it was really fun. I mean, part of it was just the team bonding aspect of it, where it was, I think there was 15 guys that went, and we were all hanging out every night, and we're all different ages. And I'm 5 years older than some of the freshmen on the team as a fifth-year senior.
Yeah.
So it was great to kind of lay that foundation for the year. As I mean, every good team starts with off-the-court bonding and just being comfortable and being good friends with each other. So that was an awesome experience. And then a couple weeks ago, we got to go to New York and Boston for a couple days. Another great experience traveling around New York with a group of 20 people is pretty tough. We literally took the subway to our game in Brooklyn during a snowstorm.
Jeez.
So it was nuts. We were slipping all over the place and stuff like that. But we made it, and then we got to travel to Boston too. And our game was actually across the street from where the Freedom Trail is in Boston, the Boston Common area. So it was sweet to be right down there. The gym was actually two floors underground.
Oh, wow.
We were kind of walking around like, where in the world are they going to put a basketball gym? And then you walk in the facility, go down the stairs for about 5 minutes, and you're in this kind of small boxed in gym.
Wow, it was like a basement gym.
Huh? Yeah. It was wild. The coaches' offices were like up surrounding the gym on the second level. Oh. Everything was very, very condensed. But no, that was fun. Then we got to do some historical stuff, some sightseeing, Boston Market and things like that. And again, another good way to bond as a team and then finally play some games after a long preseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the team, we're going to get a little more of the logistics here. The team got off to kind of a slow start last season. There were a lot of graduated seniors, a lot of injuries that the team dealt with through probably about the midway point of the season.
Yep.
Off to a quicker start now, 2-1. Does it feel different this year? Are you guys gelling quicker? Are things falling into place like sooner now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first and foremost, that starts with everybody's healthy right now. So that helps. Kind of our lineups are, we're kind of starting to figure out how the rotation's going to work and who plays well with who, and just different things like that, the puzzle pieces that the coaches can put together when everybody's healthy and we have everybody. And then I think, the team bonding, I think we're as close as a team as I've been on. I think that goes back to the Costa Rica trip and the trip to Boston and New York, and then that's also something that us seniors kind of talked in the off season, and we put it upon us. We said, all right, this whole thing starts with us being close as a team and us being comfortable with each other off the court. So then on the court, when you have to get on someone or something like that, we know that we're still good buddies off the court, but you got to pick it up right now.
Right.
Yep.
So you got several big, didn't mean to step on your toes there, Brady. You got several big games that have already happened and some that are coming up within this first week. You're out in New York playing a couple teams. You're going to U.S. Bank on Friday, so 3 days now from the time of this recording. Have you ever had a bigger week where you're out in New York, U.S. Bank, anything bigger that's happened?
Honestly, outside of probably the Final Four in 2016, this is about as big of a week in terms of kind of just being all over the place. So we went a whole month of just practice, playing against the same guys every single day for weeks and weeks. And then we kind of jumped right into, all right, now we're heading to New York playing two games. Now we're home playing Scholastica Thanksgiving. And then we're right into conference play and going to U.S. Bank. So it's kind of been a whirlwind of a couple weeks. We play a lot of games in January, but again, just I think the uniqueness of all of these games makes it wild, and it's a good challenge because we play a game and then we got to refocus right away because we have another tough challenge. And even before the U.S. Bank game, we played McAllister, a team with two guys, their 4 and 5 men are studs right now, so we got our hands full with them, and then we're gonna have to turn around, long day Thursday practice and then a shoot around at night, and then obviously bring it on Friday. It's gonna be a huge one.
Yeah, you guys are gonna head to U.S. Bank for that shoot around, I think at 9 o'clock on Thursday. Have you been surprised by how fast Anders Nelson has been able to start as kind of the starting point guard for this team?
Yeah, man, he's a stud. He's obviously extremely, extremely skilled. We're excited to welcome him in as a freshman. And I think what's making his transition so easy is his willingness to learn. When you go up to him and help him out, if he doesn't understand, he'll ask questions. He'll ask the coaches questions and seek out advice from the coaches. And I think that's huge because the transition from high school to college is not easy. It's people are bigger, the game's a lot faster. So the fact that he's so eager to learn and so eager to get better, it'll only help him out.
Yeah, we talked about it a little before we started recording here. Last year there seemed to be kind of a – we didn't really know who the point guard was. You know, he had several guys that could handle the ball last year, and they kind of rotated duties. But this year with Anders, it's kind of – he's the point guard, and everybody's been kind of playing their roles, and it seems like the team is gelling a lot better and probably goes back to that trip too. But what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice because we obviously have Anders running point guard right now, and Riley Miller, also another freshman coming off the bench, doing a really good job for us. Playing point guard, and it's nice because everyone's really unselfish this year, and we're usually surrounded by a lot of shooters where if it's Bert Hedstrom can shoot it really well, Ryan Lindbergh's a knockdown shooter, myself, and then even a guy like Elijah Hanna or Tommy Anderson, we're extremely comfortable with them shooting threes as well. So if we can spread the floor like that, it just gives everybody more space, and then where if we have four guys on the perimeter, one guy breaks his guy down, then the defense is playing catch-up for the next 30 seconds, and we feel like we're going to get a pretty good shot out of that.
Yeah, when you look down, when you go through the roster, there's only a handful of guys that can't shoot the three-pointer. I've watched you guys practice a few times this last couple weeks, and it's pretty incredible, the number of shooters on this team. Is there any concern going – there's kind of an old saying that and they talk about at the Final Four, when you go play in a stadium, that three-point shooting teams don't always perform as well. Villanova really put that to the wayside last year. Shooting the lights out. But was there any concern that three-point shooting might be a little harder in a stadium like US Bank?
We've definitely talked about it. We try not to internalize that just because when you get in your head like that, then the odds are that you're going to miss. But we were joking a fair amount with our coach where we start practices with just a warm-up drill, and if we don't make a certain amount of shots that we'll have to run before. So we were kind of joking around with our coach that we'll have to cut that number in half when we're shooting at the bank for the first time. But no, I mean, just the fact that we'll get a shoot around and then hopefully a lengthy warm-up, we should be all right. I mean, in the end, it's just shooting the basketball.
Right.
Yeah, this team is looking like it's going to be a three-point specialist team moving forward. Last year, the offense kind of went through Ryan Bull. He was the big man, kind of the centerpiece of this team. And now that he's gone, is there any concern about who will step up, replace him, and kind of fill that big void? I mean, he was such a big part of the team last year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we miss Bull, obviously. Anytime you lose a stud like that, you're going to have to fill holes. But we were talking, I was talking with a couple of the coaches earlier this year, and it's kind of exciting because last year we had Ryan Bull. He was our guy. He was who we went through. And the year before that, we had Grant Schaefer, who was like that as well. And we thought we actually bogged down sometimes because especially on the shot clock, we'd be freaking out, like, how can we get the ball to Bull? How can we get the ball to Schaefer? Whereas this year, we feel like we have – 5-7 guys who can all be our best player on any given day. You never really know, and we think that's super exciting, and that's tough for a defense to prepare for as well, because we like our chances matching up, whereas we don't think a lot of teams have 5 guys who can guard all of us on defense. So obviously going to miss him, but excited because we're all kind of stepping up in our own little ways to fill that void.
Let's talk about River Falls for a little bit. You guys have played them, I think every year you've played them. I've done pretty well against them. They're a solid team, though. What's the kind of the scouting report on them?
We haven't gotten into it all that much just because we have McAllister on Wednesday. Yep. But, I mean, they're obviously always a really good team. The YX is a really good conference, and they have a couple big guys, I think, who are studs who run the lanes and then guards who are really good as well. So we'll certainly have our hands full with them and only a day or two to prepare, but we're excited.
Yeah, with limited height on this team, I say, with, you know, I think the biggest who's playing center? Were you saying Connor Bear? Is he the center?
Yeah, we kind of rotate, Connor Bear, Elijah Hanna, Tommy Anderson. We have a lot of guys, and then we can just go 5 out some lineups and not even have a center, whereas we trust those guys going to the hoop and breaking their guy down as well. So it's pretty exciting, actually. We're pretty versatile. We can do a lot of things, whereas a lot of times we'll think, all right, we have an advantage inside with Connor or Elijah, and then sometimes we'll say, all right, they might be a little bigger than us inside. Let's pull it outside and see if he can guard Elijah on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been on a team like that? Like kind of a, not necessarily non-traditional, but definitely a different look than most teams run with. Is this the first time for you?
We played a little bit like that in high school, whereas our five-man was essentially another guard, but not certainly not at St. Thomas. Yeah, but it's exciting just because it's fun to have the ball and look around and say I could pass it to this guy, this guy, this guy, or this guy, and I trust that every single one of them is going to make a shot. That just makes your job a lot easier.
And speaking of high school, you went to Creighton-Durham Hall. You played, I guess probably the biggest game of your high school career would be that game against Apple Valley, the Tyus Jones-led Apple Valley team. Tell us about that game in 2014?
Yeah, it was 2014, so it was the section championship against Apple Valley, and nobody in the state thought we had a fighting chance. I mean, even people at school were coming up to us like, hey, man, good season, all that stuff. So we drove all the way out to Farmington. There was not all that many Creighton students there because we were in the middle of finals, too.
Okay.
And we kind of just hung around with them. We shot the ball really well and then made a late run in the second half and made some timely shots. And then our point guard, Donald Gresham, who's now at Northeastern, did a really good job on Tyus. Our game plan was kind of to just make Tyus score or let Tyus score as much as he wants. Don't let their shooters around him get hot. So we were kind of just all hanging out with our guys and
let him try to beat you single-handedly. Yeah,
exactly.
To put it in perspective, this was his senior year, and he is the number three player in the country, the number one point guard, committed to Duke. Basically, everybody knew he was going to be – not everybody knew, but he was a pretty commonly picked lottery pick, and he was – or not lottery pick, but one-and-done guy, I should say. So you're right. Nobody probably gave you a chance.
No.
Pretty incredible to knock out the best player in the country, probably the best player in Minnesota basketball history.
Yeah.
His senior year, trying to get to the championship game. That's pretty cool.
Where does that rank on career highlights?
Ooh, we were actually just talking about this before. In terms of games I've played in, it's probably one or two. We had a really fun St. John's game a couple of years ago. In 2017, I think, that we really needed a conference win badly and got one at home in front of all of our fans. That's probably my college highlight for a game, but high school highlight, definitely. And then the national championship game in 2016 was awesome. I didn't play in that game, so it's a little bit lower, but probably those three are above the rest in terms of most fun I've had playing a game with the atmosphere and everything like that.
What is that like? 2016, you're playing for the national championship, and I mean, you're obviously, you know, contributing to the team, but you're sitting on the bench for all of the game. Is that hard to do? You're watching these guys out there, teammates, some of your friends, you know, playing really well, but deep down you kind of wish that you were out there as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you obviously wish you were out there and you could, you know, be the guy who throws the ball up at the end of the game and kind of the first guys out there at center court. But it's also pretty inspiring too, where it's you get done with the season and you're obviously excited, you participate in all the stuff, get all your national championship gear and stuff, and then you want to do it again because you want to be on the court when that happens, and you want to be on a court during all the awesome moments during the NCAA tournament where your team keeps moving on and you guys just keep battling and kind of just running the course of it. So I would say it was more inspiring and kind of motivating than anything, but it was just an awesome experience.
Was there like a feeling on that team, just kind of a special year? Could you feel that throughout the year that this could be a national championship team? Or was that something that you guys got hot at the end and just won it?
We definitely knew going in that we had, there was a group of five seniors that were really, really good, and we knew we could compete with anybody in the country in terms of that. And then we had Ryan Bohl step up. We didn't necessarily know how much he was going to play, but he turned into arguably the best defender in the country, so he was great for that lineup where they had four really, really good scorers. And then Ryan Bohl to just guard the other team's best player and shut him down. So I think
Schaefer was on that team too, right?
Yep. Schaefer was the point guard. So I think when those roles kind of developed, we had Ryan Bohl stopping anything. Jimmy Remke was a huge spark for us off the bench. We kind of started to think like, okay, this could happen. But then tournament comes around and we see we have like six of the top 10 teams right in our bracket.
Yeah.
So our coach did a really good job of kind of sitting us down and saying, you don't need to beat every single one of these teams. We just need to win six games.
Yeah.
We need to win one at a time. So that was awesome. We actually, in the Elite Eight, we went to Augustana, who was the number one team in the country, and beat them on their home floor. And they had their, I swear, it was their front seven for their football team, first and second row in the student section. There were some big dudes yelling at us the whole game. So that was really fun. It was a great run.
Yeah, it's always fun to get a win in a hostile environment. Do you have that same feeling or about this team? Do you think this could be a special year?
Yeah, for sure it could be special. And it's early, obviously, yeah. So we have a ton to get better on. But I think we have a lot of really good pieces. And like I was saying, we are very versatile. We can score and we can attack in a lot of different ways. If we can be solid on defense, get stops, and get rebounds, I think we can play with anybody.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing I saw last year. I thought the defense kind of hurt us down the stretch and hurt us in the MIAC playoffs and all that.
Yeah, but for sure.
The offense was always scoring. It was just getting stops. So yeah. That'll be the thing to focus on. You guys were doing a lot in practice this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the primary way you go about fixing that? I mean, last season you had a lot of great talent, but just, you know, as we mentioned before, the injuries, kind of the slow start, graduating a lot of people. How do you fix that going into year two? What's kind of the first thing this team is really working on?
Yeah, I think we drill a ton, just little defensive breakdowns where it's 3-on-3 on one side of the court and you're just working on this little aspect of defense, and then we need to conceptualize and say, okay, so when this happens and there's five guys on the court, this is how we react and this is how we switch it or whatnot. And then it's nice as we keep playing games, we'll get more film that we can watch, and that's super helpful to break it down. We can pause and say, you should have been here in this situation and whatnot. And then a lot of it is our coaches talk a lot about having a plan, and that's huge in the scout and really understanding the scout. So if you're guarding a knockdown shooter who doesn't necessarily like to dribble, you can close out a lot harder than if you're guarding a striker who doesn't love to shoot. And it's just kind of the idea of understanding who you're playing against and what they want to do and combating what they want to do with how you guard them. So I think those are the huge parts of it. And then obviously it's just effort. And we talk about all the time about just get the ball. Like if there's a loose ball, dive on it, just get the ball. Yep. So I think those things put together.
Good. You guys have a very busy schedule, as we mentioned. You'll play Friday night, and then you'll return home Wednesday to take on Bethel, a pretty good Bethel team. They finished top three in the MIAC, I think, last year. They graduated a few guys, but they're tough, and it'll be a tough schedule all year for you guys. That's all I got. Noah, you got any other questions here before we bring Althea in?
Just the one, which is the producer question. So we've got a tradition here on Keep the Ball Rolling. Our producer, Althea, asks a recurring question. We ask it to all of our guests, and we can't keep a running tally. So, Althea, take it away.
Perfect.
Yeah. So in the 2014 NFC divisional game where the Packers faced the Cowboys, we like to ask, did Dez catch it?
Are you familiar with this game?
Yeah, absolutely. He caught it. No questions asked.
Thank you.
And it has nothing to do with my bias against the Packers. As a diehard Vikings fan, Dez caught that ball.
Yeah.
100%.
That's like we've had, oh goodness, this is episode 11 now, correct?
Correct.
So we've had 11 people on, only one has said no, that he did not catch. And that was Matt Mitchell, one of the defensive ends for the St. Thomas football team.
But
we've
really?
Had Coach Caruso. We've had Dave Lee, the WCCO play-by-play guy. A bunch of who I like to consider pretty good football people.
Yeah. Dowdle.
Absolutely. Mark Dowdle said it was a catch?
Yeah.
That's surprising as a D-back. I would think he would say no. That's wild.
We'll chalk it up another one in the S category.
That's what, 10-1 now?
Yeah, 10-1.
You should get a tally board up in here.
One of these days.
Yeah, eventually.
Michael, thanks for coming on. We look forward to Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So that was Michael Hannon. We really appreciate him coming on in a very busy week for the men's basketball team. But let's jump over to the women's side of things for a minute and talk about this fourth-ranked team in the country now. They're 4-0, and they just recently had a big milestone for their head coach, Ruth Sen, her 300th victory as a head basketball coach.
She's now technically at 301 at the time of this recording. So yeah. We kind of missed that one. But, 300 in 14 seasons. Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you're playing only, what, about 30 games a season, if you're lucky, getting into postseason and everything. So that's averaging probably right around 25 to 30 wins per season consistently. And Ruth Sen, you know, even before coming to St. Thomas, she was a phenomenal coach at Apple Valley, almost had 300 wins there. Apple Valley High School, I should say, 290 over 16 seasons. But she has taken this women's program and has turned it into a top-notch national juggernaut.
Yeah. And the 300th win came against number 10 ranked team in the country in George Fox, a come-from-behind win in the season opener for the Tommies, and they're rolling. They won just a few nights ago, I think it was, like 70-49. And a big night for Kai Porter, the sophomore, really stepping up. She had 23 points, shot 11 of 12 to lead number 4 St. Thomas to a 70-49 home court victory. They won 19 in a row, I think, in the regular season here, dating back to last season. And they won 12 in a row at home. I mean, this team is, we've talked about it every week, very, very dominant. Hannah Spaulding added 19 points, 10 boards, and 5 assists in the win. They got a lot of talent on this team, and they can really look to, you know, 3 or 4 different girls any night to lead them in scoring. We saw that with Kai Porter.
And we don't talk a lot about legacy with Division III players. I mean, you look at any professional team, any Division I team, it's what kind of legacy is this coach going to leave on this organization? And a lot of times that's measured by championships. Mm-hmm. And I think at the Division III level, you have to take a slightly different approach to it. I mean, it's a much different game than the pro level or the Division I level, where these players aren't getting paid in forms of scholarships. They're not primarily athletes. They are student athletes, emphasis on the student. And Division III places a heavy emphasis on that. But regardless of that, I mean, Ruth Sin has had tremendous success over her time here. 2 Final Four finishes, another 3 Sweet 16 berths, a incredible win percentage over the past decade in the postseason, 38-9, 18-1 in the MIAC, 20-8 in the NCAA. A top 5 Division III win percentage this decade, 8.898, yeah, which is phenomenal. I think what will cement Ruth Sin as one of the all-time greats at St. Thomas is a national championship. And I think this team has the potential to do that. The past 4 years that I've been here and the past 3 years that you've been here, Brady, women's basketball has fielded some really good teams, and I think any one of those teams could have won a national championship, particularly the one that finished, I think, technically 3rd 2 seasons ago. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. I think this team is as good, if not better.
Yeah, we'll see if they can take it home. 2 other things to add into Ruth Sin, 4-time Coach of the Year in the MIAC Conference and 2-time Regional Coach of the Year. Just 2 more things to add to her resume.
Yeah, she's been an impressive coach. And so for our next segment, it wouldn't be very fun to bet on the women's team.
Yeah, like, they just blow out and win all the time.
Exactly. And so you got to get into these really obscure bets about, you know, who's going to score this many points or who's going to pull in this many rebounds. Plus, we've got a big game on Friday at U.S. Bank Stadium. And so, first off, you owe me $10, Brady.
I do. I'm minus 10.
The Cowboys had a sweet, sweet victory over Thanksgiving. I'm loving that. Plus, that makes me $10 richer. So now I can buy both Althea and myself some coffee.
Yeah, you can really get expensive with
get
Starbucks. Get some.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't even know what they have at Starbucks. Get the most expensive thing there. You deserve it.
I think that's probably like, what, $6 or something like that. If you do like one of like the ventis with like extra shots of espresso in there. Once did one with 5. So like the larges get
heart
3.
Attack special.
Yeah. If I'm remembering correctly, the larges get 3 shots, and then if you add in 2, that's 5. That I was, my hands were trembling all day. I could not sit still.
Yeah,
couldn't didn't get to bed until probably about 2:30 or 3. That was a bad decision. But anyway, bets for this week: St. Thomas facing River Falls at U.S. Bank Stadium. St. Thomas, we're thinking, is the favorite to win this one. Mm-hmm. They're averaging probably about 86 points per game. River Falls, excuse me, there. Averaging probably right around 20 fewer than they are.
Yeah, I think
close
it was right around
that.
65, 65 and a half, something like that.
So we've got St. Thomas as the favorite. So our bet for this week is over-under by how much will St. Thomas win. We're assuming that St. Thomas is going to win this one. So
I put the line at 10. Yeah. So I figure we were 10-point favorites is what, after watching 0 River Falls film and seeing 2 Tommy basketball games.
I've got a proposition for you.
Yep.
So we've got this bet. St. Thomas versus River Falls will over under on the score. Should we have a contingency in case St. Thomas doesn't win? So if River Falls, should we set another margin there?
The unspeakable.
Yeah,
sure. Let's do it.
So I'm gonna, if I could lead off here, I'll take the under on St. Thomas winning. So
you're taking them to win by less than 10 points.
Fewer than 10 points, yes.
Correct.
if River Falls wins, let's set the over under at 5. And I'll take the over on that.
All right, I'll take the under. So we got two. Are we doing two $5 bets here?
I think.
Or are we parlaying them together?
I think if St. Thomas wins, bet A is active. If River Falls wins, B is active.
Oh, okay. Contingency plan.
Yeah.
A and B. Wow.
Or we could get real fancy up in here and say we could put extra money on who's going to win and then
by how much.
So we
this is getting really fancy for us.
It is.
I can't remember all that.
Okay.
Let's keep it how it is. We'll keep it with the two. All right, so I'm taking the over on St. Thomas at a 10-point favorite and the under on St. Thomas as a 5-point dog.
Yes. And so let's, with that, will St. Thomas or River Falls win?
St. Thomas.
St. Thomas? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not going to bet against you on that one, so we'll do the – we'll just stick with that one. So,
yeah,
Althea.
I don't think St. Thomas is great. Anyway, Althea, go.
You are 4-0.
On I know, I'm
bet
just
so
killing
far.
It right now.
She is on a roll. She's kind of been the harbinger of what will happen. So with that being said, no pressure. Who are you
siding
with?
You say that every week.
I do say
and
that
I
every
feel
week.
The pressure every time.
But you come out on top. So I feel like something is working here.
When we made this bet, I've been just going with my gut on
okay.
all these.
Okay.
So
just go with your gut.
Just go with my gut.
Sometimes
and
that's all you
can
do.
My gut tells me. It's very hungry right now, so I don't know if I should really be listening to what my gut is telling me.
Well, generally when your gut tells you that you're hungry, you should eat, and that's a good thing. So maybe this is an even better time to listen to your gut.
This is true. I am going to have to side with Brady this week.
Let go.
On the Tommy's winning more than 10, by more than 10, and if River Falls wins, by less than 5.
Okay.
That was what you went with, right?
There you have it, folks. Yeah, that is what I want.
All right. Yep, I'm on Brady's side this week.
I want to note.
I'm going to win.
And I want to note that Althea, I think, has alternated every week. She started with Brady, sided with me for the second one.
You can't point
that
out.
No, you won two in a row.
I did win two in a row?
Yeah, the last 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. That's right. I think the first two bets, I sided with you.
Okay.
No, you went Noah, me, Noah. Back to my side.
Either way, there's no pattern there. I thought I was being all clever and everything and was hoping I could jinx it, but.
Sorry, I debunked it.
Well. There's always a time to
no
lose
pattern,
your first one.
No pattern, just my gut.
And with that being said, that's all we've got for you here on Keep the Ball Rolling. Thank you so much for joining us. For Brady Halbmeyer and Althea Larson, I'm Noah Brown, and we'll see you next week.
Skol Tommies.